going to just preach a very short message. And then we have a panel. We have an expert panel because we're in a series called Making Life Work. And today, we can get this stuff ready. I have, thanks guys. Making life work because life is challenging and complex, and the world that we live in is increasingly challenging, right? And last week we dealt with a whole deal of change management. You know, how do you deal from one life stage change to the next? It was a great interview. If you didn't see it, jump on YouTube, you'll see it, our channel there. But it really gave us a sense of learning from each other. There's so much expertise in the room. And so this month we're tapping into that expertise and just looking at that whole journey of what does it mean for making life work? And what has God got to say about all these practical parts of life? Now, making life work with technology. You say, well, God didn't have tablets. Well, he did. Moses wrote on a tablet. It existed. iPads were invented back in Moses' day. So what has the Bible got to say with a technology crazy world? I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Nokia 5110. Anyone? Yes. Yes. I remember sitting, it was a Black Stump restaurant. Remember those? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going way back. Sorry, kiddies. Way back. I was sitting with my brother and he had a friend who pulled out a Nokia 5110 and was starting to text. ABC, three heads. You had to be smart. I mean, no predictive text, nothing. And I'm looking at this thing going, that's weird. Why don't you just pick up the phone and talk? What's this kind of sending? Why does it take you 10 minutes to send, 160 characters? Anyway, and then I was old enough to remember, and I've still got it, Ian, the flip phone. Yes. This was revolutionary. It's a Motorola. Look at that. It's just so nice. It's so good. And it's got alphanumeric. It's got twin cameras. This had the internet on it. I remember sitting there's a sports carnival for a school I was teaching. Wonder what that monument is up there. You know what? I've got the internet in my pocket. I remember that thought. I could look that up, and I did. My life changed. Do you remember those times? Now, if you're 2007, the iPhone was launched. Touch, right? It changed the world. It's only 16 years ago. So if you're under 16, if you're under 20, you probably doesn't. But anyone over 20, remember life without a phone, a smartphone. I remember my mum as a kid tied to the wall, talking to her mum, complete privacy, with my dad looking on. STD rates. Kid you not. How different is today's world? Astonishing. Since 2007, social media has grown. There are 4.2 billion social media users worldwide, half the population. Facebook, most popular social media platform, 2.8 billion monthly active users. That's phenomenal. As of 2021, there are over 3.8 billion smartphone users worldwide. 3.8 billion of these. Mobile internet usage accounts for over 50% of global internet usage. So over half of all internet usage comes from your phone, not computers, tablets. The use of mobile devices, get this stat. As of 2021, over 73% of e-commerce sales are made on mobiles. 73% of people buying stuff, they do it on here. That's a nice dress. Oh, there's my son. Let's check. That's astonishing. It's like on the run as you go, purchase stuff. It's phenomenal. And look, technology is incredible. I mean, I in my other world, I oversee technology adoption in 200 schools. I know this stuff. I do it for a job. I love it. I love tech. I love the application of it. I mean, there's improved communication, obviously. There's access to information, weather, the news, updates, education, like it's right here. How phenomenal is that? Increased safety. You know, you can kind of feel safe. You connected with people most of the time. Convenience and efficiency, you know, shopping, net banking, transportation. Try going to a new city and working out their kind of buses and trains. There's probably an app for that. Like, how easy has life become? Traveling overseas. I just pop it in there. Currency transfers, like accommodation. Look, the world has improved, hasn't it? These things are phenomenal. Photography. Man, I've got an awesome photograph thing, camera, in my pocket. I got one of the models with two cameras. Yeah, I know, some of you got three or four. But I mean, these things are better than the old Instagram, Instamatic thing, or the Polaroids. And it's in my pocket. Video camera in my pocket. Voice recorder. I mean, music player. How cool is iMusic and what's that other one? Spotify. You know, how cool are they that you can just have a playlist? I used to buy CDs, cassette tapes. Anyone? I mean, I had a Walkman as a kid and then a Discman. Music. Improved healthcare. There's so many things that we do that life just works so well on these devices. Hey? It's a lot of fun. However, there are some downsides. This is some of the research. Addiction. Smartphone addiction is growing. The need to check for notifications, scroll through social media feeds, respond to messages. I mean, how many kind of input things do you have? You know, how many... You know, you got to check WhatsApp, then Messenger, then text, then Facebook, then Instagram, and email. Like, decreased face-to-face communication. Like, do we still know how to talk to each other? Do we still know how to have a deep and meaningful conversation? Sleep disturbances, the blue light, can interfere with the production of melatonin, a hormone that regulates sleep. So if you're not sleeping, lose that. Reduced physical activity has been documented. People aren't getting out anymore. I just sit on my phone. Eye strain and vision problems. Decreased productivity at work. The constant need to check the phone constantly. Cyberbullying, students, kids, Twitter. The anonymity of the internet, you know. There's so much harm that the kids are experiencing, trying to navigate that online world. Privacy concerns, genuine privacy concerns about your PII, personally identifiable information. Like who knows who's got your email address, your photographs, your phone, your passport. Like it's all sitting there. Data breaches are a big deal, whereas 50 years ago, it wasn't so much. And then relationships, you know, how do you do relationships in this strange world? So look, that's just a snapshot. Incredible, incredible opportunities. Some challenges for us. What does God have to say about these things in all seriousness? Here's three things. Three things, I believe, before we get our panel up. Number one, look up. Look up. You see, the teenage slouch these days? I don't just mean look up because you might run into a pole. I mean... Colossians 3, kind of look up. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Look up, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Consciously. Now, this is why you got to set your day right at the start of each day. I always tell my family and anyone who'll listen, don't look at that before you've looked at that, right? What's the first thing you check in the morning? Is it your feeds? Or is it the Word of God? Seriously. Wake up to this. Look up. Seek your mind on things above. And then let this interpret that, right? Because this is the real deal. This has some of the real deal. How do you know which is which? But set your mind, be absorbed in the things of God by looking up, and then you can deal with this stuff confidently. You can spot the fakes when you got the real thing. So to look up, it creates your key to content decisions. What do I look at? What don't I look at? What to worry over and what not to worry over? There's so many things you could worry over in this world. That's the problem with these feeds. Suddenly you're dealing with an Ethiopian situation or Afghanistan or Mexican wall, or and then, oh man, it's 6:30 in the morning, and how do I deal with the world crisis that's just been told to me? Whereas if I'm in the Word of God first, I can interpret that. Number one, look up. Number two, set boundaries. Set boundaries. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success." Be careful. Just elbow the person next to you and say, "Be careful." That wasn't maybe not elbow, just thump them or something. Be careful. Be careful to do according to all that is written. Be careful of these things. Just be careful according to God's ways, right? Be careful with your filters. So put filters on these things if you have trouble with in certain areas. Be careful which apps you download, which are just going to be addictive, which are going to take you sideways, which are going to take you away from the things of God. Be careful which devices you have. The other day I laughed. I think I was with Laura. I had three or four of my devices out as we're doing stuff. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. And I've got these things lined up. So be careful. Just minimize, streamline things. Be careful with time. How much time? Look at those wonderful apps that tell you your media usage has been up or down. Be careful. Be careful how much time and when you use them, you know. It's like at home cooking dinner. Get off the phone, kids, you know. And yet mums and dads are the worst. "Oh, yeah, good. How's your day, son?" "Yeah, that's good. That's really nice." "Oh, good, good. And what else? What do you do? What's your name again?" Rugby. "How was rugby?" "Yeah. Oh, he had what for dinner? It's a cute cat." "Huh?" "Oh, good game. Good. I'm so glad you touched the ball. Awesome. Awesome." Just. All right. Be careful. When? How? Be careful with the friends you have. You can unfriend people. Get rid of toxic friends. Be careful what to share. You don't have to share everything. And you don't have to curate your life. Be careful. All right, I need to get on. Number three, champion the good. Last one. Champion the good. So much good there, but we can be advocates for the good. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, text about these things. Share about these things. Forward these things. Like these things. You see it? These are the things that we need to be sharing. Like whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, comment on these things. Like these things. Let's fill the interweb with all these good things. Let's fight back against some horrifying statistics of what mostly takes up the internet. Use your imagination. Let's be social for good. Let's use this platform for good. We can do this. We can. We can do this really, really well. We can grab hold of these things, use them for what God has best for them, and we can just get rid of the other bits and pieces. All right? Now, there is a panel. Let's invite Naomi and Zach and Laura. They're all over the place here. Come and jump up, because I want to drill down on a few ideas. We might get rid of that, Ray. Grab a seat over here. Got a mic. I need the MC mic. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, that's awesome. Adam just texted me then on my device and said, you'll need the other mic. Isn't that good? Thanks, Adam. Oh, and just got to deal with his other text from a few people. Hang on. Hey, now you need some light. Come into the light, Naomi. This is great panel. Now, all of these guys have some expertise. They're not just users. Expertise. Let me just take 30 seconds. What's your background in social media and tech, Zach?
Oh, geez, I'm honoured to be up here. I don't know if I have the best expertise, but I run a bit of an Instagram page around kind of godly men and getting men to realise the potential they have in God, not to fight, you know, battles by their own strength, but give it to God. And just lots of kind of social media stuff around youth going up, mainly from our old church, been a bit slack here, but yeah, things like that. And just trying to use my platform to encourage people. I always try and post different verses and things. And like you said, that battle, like there's so much bad on social media, but that shouldn't be the reason we step back from it. It should be a reason to use it as a tool to kind of share the gospel as well. So,
fantastic. I've seen your stuff. It's good. Thanks. Laura, yes, how do you use social media? We've got Laura.
It's a mic on. Yeah. So I'm Laura. I work in communications. So that is traditional communications, but a lot of it these days is digital comms. So definitely on social media, and then, I don't know, websites and everything as well that comes with that.
So. Including this church. So you run all the media stuff for church.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal.
Which I love.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
And Naomi, you're also in media.
Yes. So. Oh, yep. Yes, I am a graphic designer and have been for about 25 years, so I've seen many tech changes and have been in the media world for a lot of that.
Absolutely.
I work at the uni at the moment in the alumni space, so we our main role is to connect with other people, and we use social media a lot for that, and website and electronic emails. I send to hundreds of thousands of people. So that's just trying to connect people back to the university in different ways.
Fabulous. So some pretty talented people here. And also you design all this stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Naomi's very clever and just volunteers her time to do a lot of the screen designs, which is just beautiful. So let's get to some questions. I'll start with you, Zach, and we'll just work around.
Sure.
Just outline your use of tech. So what do you actually use?
Oh, use tech too much. Lots of social media. So probably I'm massive on Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
They take up a lot of my day sometimes, but try to not let them take up a lot of my day.
So mainly socials.
Yeah, mainly the socials. Yeah.
Laura, what's your main use of tech?
Yeah, definitely my phone and socials. But yeah, I'm on it all day long for work, and then at home it's where I find my entertainment a lot of the time and communicate with friends and family, and I don't look at my screen time anymore because it's a really big number. No.
And Zach, you're mainly using your phone, not a tablet or a desktop computer?
Mainly phone, yeah.
Do you know what a desktop computer is?
I do, yeah. We used to have a family computer at home.
Yeah,
not family. Not too young.
So, anyway. You know what it is. No, what do you use?
So I do use a laptop at work.
Yeah.
And
they're old school, aren't they?
I have screens as well. We do have a family computer at home. I have a phone and an iPad, and there's other screens in our house as well for children. I did reflect on a conversation I had with Taylor a while ago. Because I was on my phone, and he's like, "Mum, you're still on your phone. What are you doing on your phone?" I said, "Well, actually, While we've been sitting there and you've been watching TV, I've paid 3 bills, signed permission notes for you to go on a school excursion. I've done the groceries, read the verse of the day, bought your cousin's birthday present and had it sent to her, transferred pocket money into your bank account from mine, registered you to play sport, paid for your theatre classes, sent a message to a friend who I know is a bit having a tough time, checked the news headlines to make sure I'm not missing anything, skimmed Google alerts for work, paid my car rego, updated my Centrelink detail. Like, this is my world.
Right.
Like, we do everything on this. Like, the list keeps going. Like,
that's phenomenal. Yeah. Technology for good.
Well, it's just everything is in here.
Yeah, it is. Wow. So true.
Yeah, my social media, I try very hard not to stay on it. I'm very thankful I did not grow up with social media. Mm. So it's not been my go-to, really. So I can very easily waste time on it, but I feel a bit of a disconnect to it. I don't get it, I think.
Which I think is generational.
Yeah. Totally generational. I'm just going to show my age here. Not
if I put myself into your age category.
Yeah, we're close.
They're over 50s.
No, we're not
well
that
under
close.
50s. We grew up in a different era.
Yeah.
And it actually is a completely different space. Yeah. Mm. This is good. Zach, so the question really we want to explore is how is your faith, how does it affect both your social use and also your platform use? Does it have an impact?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. It feeds our soul in a way, right? So I think unless we're really feeding on the word of God first before social media, I always try and read in the morning when I'm having breakfast or something. Like if I just mindlessly scroll in the morning, filling myself up with just random stuff, wars, whatever, and you wake up feeling a bit distressed almost.
Right.
It can really affect, I don't know, for myself, my mood and in turn kind of my faith or, my want to go outside or, see this other person if you're a bit down on life.
Yeah. See, I just wonder if we're raising a generation of kids who that's what they're faced with every morning. Mm. No wonder we're all depressed because the world is really challenging. And if that's the first thing that hits us before a hug from mum or dad or a pat of the dog, I'm just wondering if that's part of, it's got to be a difference, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Laura? What's...
Yeah,
how's your faith?
Definitely
fictions.
Agree with Zach there. I thought of Philippians 4:8 as well. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just. I personally regularly cull the accounts I follow on Instagram.
Right.
In the past, I've followed some content that has led me to feelings of like comparison and inadequacy, kind of feeling negative about myself and where I'm at in life. So, yeah, I'm quite mindful that whatever I'm following, if I'm going to be spending my time on there, that it's, it points me to God, Christian accounts, or it's artists that I find inspiring or people that I know and love. Definitely what I look at, I feel, is really guided by faith. And that helps as well.
Yeah. So it helps you what you follow and what you look at.
Yeah.
Because you're also, you haven't talked about this, but your art world as an artist, use that to promote a lot of your stuff too.
Yeah, for sure. You need to be online, I guess, these days if you want your art to be seen by the right people.
Yeah. Good. Naomi, your faith, how does that impact how you use the tech?
I think just similar in that the choices and the time. I actually found this quite challenging, this question. I really just went, and what I am following. I have, since you sent me this, I've really noticed and looked at what I'm following.
Mm.
Thought, is this actually okay?
And that's probably a good message for all of us. Every now and then do a quick stock take of who you're following. What kind of impact it has on you. And I like that idea of comparisons or unhealthy or FOMO or whatever that you feel like is impacting you. It's good. Do feel just to butt in, as we...
Something that I find tough on that, even if we call what we're following, sometimes in social media, Instagram, every 3 posts is a marketing ad. So you might get stuff that, you might not want to see it, but it's coming up. Yep. And even the reels, you jump on someone's reel and you have a look, but you can be scrolling through reels and they're all recommended and they... you scroll 3 reels and all of a sudden you got someone talking about their hunting range out in America or something, just totally random to what you actually follow. So it can really bombard you really quickly in a few scrolls and a few taps, and you're on something else. So.
Which is deliberate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Let's talk about reels, because I've been learning about reels from my advisor over here. Because reels are kind of relatively new. Well, you know, less than 10 years old.
Couple of years.
And I found when I first started to look at reels, a lot of them were quite confronting, you know, like people with not a lot of clothes on, to be honest. And I go, wow, like that's just on my normal Instagram feed. How do I turn this off? You know, there's some good stuff, and then there's some stuff that I think I actually wouldn't want to see that. It's not healthy for me. So how do you sift those reels? How do you delete stuff or unfollow things? Can you?
Not like that, not quite as straightforward. The algorithm, which controls, is a set of rules that show you what reels you get in your app, which is different for every single user. That is meant to learn. So it will watch what you spend time watching, and it will then go, oh, that must interest you. Okay. So then it will try and show you that content. But at the same time, it's also trying to keep you on the app. So it will give you something that you want, but it will also, it has some ideas around what content keeps people on the apps. And that's where you get hunting ranges, I don't know, because you're a young guy and you might get more angry kind of content, because that tends to get people fired up and they want to then keep scrolling.
Right. So it's provoking a response.
Yeah.
This is smarter than most of us. So the bottom line I'm hearing there, be careful what you stop and look at.
Definitely.
Because it will multiply in your feed.
Yep.
Yeah. I found even like there's options to say I don't want to see like content like this again, but it still finds a way. Like
it'll come back.
It comes up.
Yeah. And then there's the ads. I agree. You know, I was looking for some exercise gear for my home gym, and I deliberately clicked on something because I thought I'm going to see what happens here. And I'm still getting feeds for all kinds of treadmills and walking machines and rowing machines. You know, and I was just a little experiment to myself. But the companies I've never heard of promoting all this stuff, which can be helpful, but that's all I'm looking at for the next month.
Yeah, because it's no accident that we all say, oh, I was just thinking about that, and there it was.
That's frightening. Now, you said to me, Laura, the other day, what you talk about around your phone appears on your feed.
They do listen. Yes.
Yep.
Come on. Talk me through that.
It's just, you know, another helpful thing in life, that if you're discussing it, if you're thinking you want to buy a gym, your phone's going to help you out and show you that. That's how they sell it to you, that it's
so your phone is listening to you.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
And everything you look at on the internet is being looked
at. Yeah, tracking you.
And curated.
And curated and then fed back to you.
I mean, we could spend all that. Yeah.
Because this is what we do. This is to do.
Because you want it for your good.
Exactly.
Because you're in the
opposite
market.
Yeah, so that's what
marketing. So you've got to be even careful what you speak about in front of your phone. Wow. Yeah.
Tash normally grabs my phone and goes, spa day for fiancé and things like that.
Weird, yeah. So have some fun testing that, you know. Like. So we are living in a very interesting world. And if you've ever seen, what's the movie, The Social Network, is it? Is it?
Is that the invention of the... Facebook,
cool.
The Social Dilemma.
The Social Dilemma.
Yes. It is fantastic at showing you how it actually works, how social media works, and does that looking at everything you're doing and feeding it back to you. The tagline of it, if you're not paying for the product, then you are the product.
Get that? We are the product. We are
and
being
that
consumed.
Is what, if in social media, absolutely the product.
Yeah.
Changes the way you think and the time that you're spending every feed.
So that is a good movie to watch. If you've not seen that, particularly show it to your kids, grandkids. I've seen that and it's quite frightening. And that's before a lot of the Gen AI stuff, generative AI, like ChatGPT.
And it's produced and made by people who used to work for Google and Facebook and Instagram. And Pinterest and now all just don't want anything to do with it.
I find it interesting that a lot of like executives in these companies, they don't let their children use
yes.
it.
They all say that in yeah. this, that documentary.
They've seen yeah. the what's behind, what's underneath yeah. it, and they won't let their children use it.
Wow. Wow. This is not meant to frighten us. It's to be aware of what's in our pockets.
Yeah.
Because we're not thinking about it. Our world in general. So how does our church, how do we set the framework, you know? So what do you think? So the question I had was... any helpful ideas? So how do we, how then, if this is the kind of the lie of the land, how yeah. can we use it? Well, jump in, anyone. Let's
yeah,
helpful
I'll,
ideas.
I'll take that one to start with. So I have a lot of these conversations. As I said, it's my work. You just said ChatGPT, generative AI. We haven't even spoken about that. But the fact you can take a photo or someone's voice and make a pretty convincing video or soundbite of them doing something or saying something they never did. Or you can get a university passing essay, 2,000 words, churned out in 20 minutes. The world is changing, obviously. And I've had these conversations with people of all ages, Christian, non-Christian, and we've heard it even this morning. Nearly exclusively people respond with, wow, this is scary. This is frightening. This is, they're afraid of what technology is currently capable of and what it will be capable of in the near future.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking a lot about that. And something that encourages me is the fact that God is not shocked by any of this.
Right.
God is not surprised by smartphones or AI or social media. And the Bible tells us over and over again, fear not, do not be afraid.
Good.
Fear not, do not be afraid. And that's just as relevant to the modern world that we live in today as when it was written. So, yeah, I think that we definitely don't have to live in fear of technology. Our God remains more powerful
yeah.
than all of it.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, don't be afraid. Be knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Forewarned is forearmed.
Right.
That's what right. Yeah. I thought. Cool. Yeah. That.
Yep.
Like, understand it, learn about it.
Yep.
It's not going to go away.
Yep. Yep. Anything else, Naomi, from your...
Just practical things like that you had even mentioned on it. So that turn your notifications off. Set yeah. the time limits on your phone.
Yep.
Just don't have it next to your bed at night. Yeah. Put it on airplane mode at night. You know, just yep. little things that actually do help.
Yeah.
A bit with being able to just switch off.
How about just turn it off every now and then?
Yeah.
How about... I mean, my family gets sick of this, but... Read a book. You know, old school paper. You know those, they're called books. And the reason they're good is because nothing beeps up at you and you get time and actually the brain is processing story and length of novels, right? Learn a musical instrument. It'll take you a decade. Seriously. Because everything's instant.
Mm.
So we've got to train our minds for the long haul. Right? Otherwise, we're living in this very short attention span kind of world. What have you got?
Yeah, I love that too. I was going to comment something similar. I've read a book by James Clear called Atomic Habits, and it's amazing. But he talks about, like, you know, our phones are kind of a go-to fault for relaxation sometimes.
Yeah.
We associate, you know, relaxing with bringing out a phone instantly, watching Netflix, like, yep. all those things that are tech related rather than, you know, picking up an instrument or picking up a book, which are so much more healthy for our minds and things yep. like that. So definitely doing those other things and even just, you know, going, I'll read 10 pages of this book before I even look at social media. I'm going to put my phone away. Like that yep. is so simple to do yep. 10 pages, but sometimes we find that hard. So yeah. just challenging ourselves a bit.
Yeah. I've always been a reader, but I now have to really sit, concentrate
yeah.
to read.
Right. Right.
To not be distracted yeah. by the phone or the other things.
See, I reckon it's rewiring our brains. I yeah. really do. Because we're not used to long. Yeah. Quick fix, 30-second TikTok. Bang. This is good. We're going to finish up. Any help for parents, mums of kids using text, just to finish up with. Naomi, you're probably in this zone. Any of your kids?
This is a battle. A battle.
A battle.
And you know that, Jeff. It's a battle that I feel daily that I'm losing. It is a battle.
Right.
Yeah.
How can we, parents,
yeah,
do this better?
Again, I think that we don't want to ignore it. It's they don't leave our home and there's no tech world out there for them anymore. They leave our home and it's still all there, right, and they have more access to it because we're not blocking stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it is, I guess, putting those boundaries in,
mm-hmm,
setting limits, turning, like Stone's phone doesn't come on until 7 o'clock and it goes off at 8:30.
Yeah.
Just set those times.
Yep.
There are ways around this, apparently.
Right.
And that's the other thing, they find ways around everything. It is a battle. Yeah.
But boundaries.
Boundaries. And when they're little, this is the time. Put the timer on the iPad if they're watching.
Yeah.
Put the time. You know, having that screen. This is screen time, and that's it. That's the time.
Yeah.
And also maybe a compromise of, like, it's currency in our house to have more screen time, to have more device time.
Right.
Do those jobs, you can have a bit more of that. You know, they can be. Currency. We can be. And just, like you said before with the phone, it made me really think about that teenagers, like I used to come home and my mum will testify this, sit on the phone for 3 hours to my friends that I was at school with all day.
Oh, like the
phone. Actual phone in the kitchen on the wall until someone would say, we are having dinner, get off the phone.
Right.
And that, teenagers still need that. And yeah, this is their world.
Sure.
So it's being able to navigate that with them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, again, it's a losing battle.
All the parents said, amen, we feel you.
It's really hard. It's really hard.
But a battle worth fighting.
Yes.
And not because we hate our kids, because we love our kids and want them to be well-formed. Laura, you've not quite got a teenager yet.
Not quite there yet. He does watch Bluey on the phone, though.
Bluey.
Yeah, I think for me it's... this is the time where I need to be making these decisions personally and also setting up the kind of example that I want to be around.
Right.
Harry, and I am not great at that, but just being mindful that, the phone goes in the other room, I'm playing with him, I'm not scrolling Instagram at the same time, and hope that I can set that example. If I am in control of it for my life, then I'm going to be in a better position to help him when he's navigating it for himself. I don't know how to do that, so working on that. So I've got a little bit of time, thankfully, but it's coming.
It's good.
Yeah.
This is really good. Different ages.
Yeah.
And Zach and Tash, you're getting married in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Yeah, days. That's exciting. Really exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah, come on. It's going to be very, very fun. So not quite there yet, but
no.
Any thoughts?
I'll speak a bit from my own perspective, I guess. I don't have any kids, but... I guess that word gets thrown around a lot, cyberbullying, and I think it's huge amongst kids because, you know, you can say whatever you want behind a screen in a way, and I found that on the flip side, I find it a lot easier to share God online rather than just talking to a random in the street, right? So it's the same with anything, but kids find it easier to almost be okay to say things about different people. And when I came through even primary school, me and a lot of my friends had Facebook like year six, year seven, so early on.
Wow.
And I remember getting it to play like Farmville or play Facebook used to have these games, but we used to be on there playing games, but everyone at school got called in one day because one kid had got really severely cyberbullied by another kid at our school, and a lot of people had seen it online. It just wasn't good and really just affected a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've seen those effects, and I think even if your kid is Christian, like there's people out there, there's kids even in the school that aren't.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard, like those restrictions, I think you said, are really important, as hard as they are, so they don't see that as normal as well, by even their peers at school.
Yeah. This is so good. And now this is a conversation starter. That's what this month is all about. We obviously, just a short time, converse with the panel. Get some good books. I have so many books on this. I've got resources, apps, filters. You know, I've done it all. Tried it all. It doesn't always work. But if you're feeling like this is a challenging area for you, for your family, come and chat. Let's talk about this. We'll be talking about this in our life groups this week. And it just let's just keep this working together. We can do this well, church. We don't have to, you know, we're not going to disappear from the tech world. We're going to use it, but we're going to use it properly and well to the glory of God and to the benefit of our society. There's amazing things there. So why don't you give these guys a hand? That's just fabulous.